Ecclesiastes 18, we're going to begin with verse 36. Everyone have it, say amen.
Amen.
And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God, the Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let none of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain.
Hallelujah.
They're going to blast the shofar. We want you to give the Lord praise for his word today. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. Bless him this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Come on. We thank the Lord Jesus. You may be seated, and if the Lord will allow me, I will minister on this salt, the sound of rain. Amen. The sound of rain. Look at your neighbor and say, the sound of rain. Amen. Praise God. We had unusually heavy rainfall this season. Amen. And it has caused a lot of flooding. Amen. And some great devastation. Amen. There are people that are still recovering, amen, from the loss, amen, that has been left behind by this flooding, amen, by the heavy rains that has caused the flooding, amen, and it's left behind grief. There's a lot of people grieving over things that have been lost, lives that have been lost, things that have, taken place, and the excess of the water. Amen. It's just saturating the ground. Amen. Leaving the water with nowhere else to go. Amen. But to rise up. Amen. And so we've been seeing this. Amen. That the flash flooding results whenever the ground is so saturated and there's so much rain, and the rain comes so fast and it comes so heavy and it can't come so sudden and it lasts so long. Amen. That floods just begin to happen. It's amazing to me how much damage that water can do, amen, and what, how quick that flooding can happen, amen, and so as the rains continue to fall, then the flash flooding, amen, just begins to take place, and there's no more, there's no time for the ground to dry up before more rain falls, and so it just seems to be, excuse me, an ongoing process, amen, but today, what about the opposite of that? Amen. I believe it was last year at this time that we had a lack of rain. We didn't have as much rain as we needed. Amen. Praise God. So it caused the ground to be dry. It caused things to be parched. It caused things to be affected by the lack of rain. But what about the opposite of the heavy rainfall? Amen. And the flash flooding. The Bible talks about this, amen, in the first book of Kings in chapter 18. And that would be a drought. Amen. A drought, literally in the scripture, it means parched. It comes from a root word that means the removal of all moisture. Amen. So it's not just a lack of rain. Amen. In the sense that it doesn't rain for a while, but it's an extended period of time that this takes place, amen, and any and all moisture, amen, is taken away, and it begins to cause damaging effects, amen. They call drought a creeping phenomenon because it doesn't just happen right away, but it is a slow process that begins to impact every aspect of life. Amen. First and foremost, and as it affects agriculture. Amen. And when agriculture is affected, then that in turn just has a domino effect, and it affects society, and it affects, amen, everyday living. Amen. So, you know, they call those periods like we, you know, last year when we was out rain, they call it a drought season, but it really isn't a drought in the sense, because a drought is when there's no rainfall for a really extended period of time and all moisture, amen, is removed. Praise God. But when we see that, we understand, amen, that there is a spiritual concept, because rain, spiritually speaking, represents blessing and provision. We know that in the scripture, when God promised rain, amen, especially at the times of the feast, when they would believe for God's forgiveness and God's approval over their lives, and then God would promise them that the rains would come in due season, amen, they would not have to worry about reaping the harvest, amen, they could plant their crops, amen, in expectation that God was going to provide for them. Amen. So the removal of rain was more than just a time of famine, but it was a sign from heaven, amen, of the removal of provision and blessing. Amen. So spiritually speaking, then drought is the absence of blessing. It's the absence of favor. It's the absence of that said provision. Amen. And it calls in the Bible, it calls a famine. So whenever you see a famine in the land, there is usually a drought, amen, that has taken place, that has over time put it into this place, because they didn't have the factories and the manufacturing and the processed foods that we have today that could be made. Amen. They relied solely on the crops and everything that the agriculture and the ground was able to bring. Amen. But when we look in the scripture, we have to look at a pattern, amen, that what seems to precede a drought? What is it, amen, that brings upon a drought? Because at this time, amen, we know that the Bible says that Elijah prophesied that there would be 3.5 years, amen, without rain, that the rain would be lifted for 3.5 years. So by the time that we are in this point in chapter 18, there has been, amen, a drought, and there is a famine, amen, if you will, in the land, amen. But I think we can look at Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 38 that might give us a little insight on, hallelujah, what, praise God. Did you get that scripture? Jeremiah gave it to her. Jeremiah 50:38, amen, praise God. If you can find that for me real quick, I'd appreciate it, amen. I'll try to find it in here, amen. Jeremiah 50:38. Okay. A drought hangs over her waters, they will be dried up, for this is a land of idols. They go mad over these horrors of theirs. So what does this tell us? Amen. This kind of gives us an idea of what precedes a drought, spiritually speaking, right? Amen. Bringing God pulling away. Amen. The rain, the blessing, the provision, the hope, the promise. Amen. To be able to look to the future, to be able to lay down at night and not have to worry about whether the crops were going to grow, whether there was going to be a harvest, whether things were going to move forward as usual, as normal. It tells us, amen, that we can see that idolatry seems to precede a drought. Amen. What is idolatry? Praise God. Idolatry can be, amen, a physical object. It can be a person. It can be a concept. It can even be an idea or an emotion. Amen. Anything, praise God, that absorbs one's attention, affection, and devotion more than God. Now remember, it doesn't have to be instead of God. It doesn't have to be other than God, but it can simply fall in the line that when any of those things, amen, begins to take your attention away from God, and the attention is put on that thing, that person, that emotion, amen, that idea or that concept, amen, anything that absorbs your attention more than God's, amen, can become a risk of being an idol. Amen, praise God. So you don't have to bow down and worship a particular statue or a different god. You don't even have to not worship, amen, God, not be in the house of God. But it's when something takes your attention away from the attention that belongs to God, when your focus is more on that than it is on God, amen, then you're looking, amen, at the concept of idolatry, amen. So we see here that idolatry precedes a drought, amen. The drought, God said, a drought is over your waters because the land is full of idols. And I want us to look a little further here. Amen. What idolatry does is it simply divides the covenant relationship between God and his people. Amen. It divides. It puts a barrier. It puts a separation between, amen, the covenant of God and his people. Now, Elijah prophesied that a drought would be upon Israel and it would last for 3.5 years. The New Testament tells us, amen, that 3.5 years this drought lasted, amen. So we understand that now, by the time, it is now in the third year in chapter 18, amen, that Israel and the land has been in a drought. Now there's trouble, amen, there's things, amen, that have been affected. People have become discouraged, people have become distraught, people have become distracted, people have become, amen, pulled and convinced, amen, of things. If I can say it like this, there were more gods, amen, than just the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, amen. And so I want you to understand that when we get in spiritual places, and amen, our life becomes a condition. Can I get anybody to hang with me for a minute? Amen. When our spiritual walk, amen, and the things in our life become, amen, a condition, it's very easy to get your eyes off of what matters. It's very easy to get your focus off of the things, amen, that hold eternal value, the things that have weight to them, the things that when storms come, that when battles come, hallelujah, the things that are already rooted. See, when you stand on the Word of God, you're not standing on the Word in your circumstances. It's not in your situation that you're standing on the Word. The Word that you're standing on has already been rooted long, long, long ago. It's already been established and it's already taken root. And it's already been proven that there's no storm, there's no hell, there's nothing that can come and uproot that word. Are you with me? I posted a week or so ago, I can't remember, amen, but a storm has two purposes. It reveals that which is strong and sturdy and destroys that which isn't. Amen. So if it isn't, if what you're standing on, if what has your attention is not rooted in the Word of God, when the storm comes, you will be easily be moved. You will easily be lifted and taken away. But when you stand on the Word, it's just as if, amen, you go all the way back to the book of Genesis, where we have our first record of God speaking his word, that in the beginning, hallelujah, amen, the Holy Spirit brooded over, amen, of the waters and over the earth. Amen, the Holy Spirit was breathing, let there be light. And his word exposed the light in the darkness. Somebody better help me in this place. See, I believe light was already there. It just had to be revealed. I don't believe that God created it at that moment. I believe his word revealed it. Somebody help me in this place. I'll help you a little bit later. Because when everything around you is dark and you can't see your way, it's the word that will push back the darkness and let the light of God be revealed. So back to my point. You are standing on the word of God in your situation and in your circumstances. It's just as if you're all the way back in the beginning when God said, let there be light. That word was established. That word was already there, rooted and grounded in truth. And then Jesus comes, you know, and speaks it and all of that. Amen. So that word that you're standing on cannot be shaken. It cannot be moved. You don't stand on just word. You don't stand on prophet so-and-so's word. You don't stand on the church's word. You stand on the word of God. When everything else is seeking sand, on Christ the solid rock, I stand. For his word is forever settled in the heavens. The grass will wither and the flower will fade, but the word of God shall stand when everything else is falling. So don't take my word for it. Take his word for it. And when you stand on that word, there ain't a storm that can take it out. There ain't a trial that can bring it and cut it down. There ain't a demon from darkness that is able to thwart it. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, which is the word. Oh, somebody better help me in this place. Stand on his word. Stay with me. I'm just laying a foundation. So in the third year, God told Elijah to go tell King Ahab that rain was coming. Now we know that Ahab was the husband of Jezebel. We give Jezebel too much credit.
No, no.
Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. That spirit behind her was the spirit of Athaliah and the spirit of Baal. Amen. Praise God. Ahab had allowed himself to go to it. Amen. Praise God. Now he was operating under that same influence. We know Jezebel hated the prophets of God. Hallelujah. She had killed, murdered the prophets of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so there was a lot of things going on. But God told Elijah, go tell King Ahab that the rain is coming. Look at somebody next to you and say, rain is coming. You're like, we don't need rain. I ain't talking about in the earth. I'm talking about, amen, in the spirit. Hallelujah. Now look at your neighbor, amen, again and say, rain is coming. Hallelujah. So that, remember now, famine was in the land and the water sources, amen, it dried up. Amen. Grass was scarce. We read where King Ahab sent his servant and said, go and see if you can find the brooks. Amen. Any brooks that aren't dried up. See if there's some green grass in a pasture somewhere so that our animals don't die, because the animals, amen, the livestock, amen, were dying because there was no water and all of the natural source resources of water was drying up. Hallelujah. Praise God. So imagine, amen, Ahab's thinking when he said rain was coming. Amen. Hallelujah. Now Jezebel, again had killed all the prophets, but we know, amen, that one of, amen, Ahab's servants, amen, the Bible tells us that he had hid, amen, 100 prophets by 50, by count of 50 in two caves. So there was 50 in one and 50 in another. Hallelujah. And he was afraid he was going to get in trouble. Amen. It was going to be revealed. But nonetheless, can I tell you, God has always got a backup. God has always, God never runs out of resources. Are you hearing me today? Hallelujah. When you stand on that word, you stand on the source of all things. Hallelujah. He's not my resource. He's the source. And out of all other, and out of him, all other resources draw. Are you hearing me? Praise God. So everything you got is because God has allowed you to get it. Amen. Are you hearing me? Praise God. Hallelujah. So we see, amen, that by the leading of God, Elijah told Ahab, he said, now rain's coming, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to get the prophets of Baal, amen, and I want you to get the prophets of Asherah, amen, and I want you to gather them together. There was 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah. That's 850 men. There were no women prophets, amen, in the pagan. Hallelujah. He said 850 prophets. I want you to get them all, and I want you to bring them to Mount Carmel. He said, then I want you to gather all of Israel. Get all that you can to come of Israel. Hallelujah. Now think about that. That was not a light crowd. Amen. That was not something, amen, that was to be winked at. Amen. 850 people alone is a lot. But then you bring in all of Israel. I don't know what the number would be with that at that time. Hallelujah. But they all met Elijah at Mount Carmel. And Elijah asked them a question. He said, how long will you halt between two positions? Hallelujah. You know what that tells me? All these other religions, the atheism, the agnostics, and all of those things out there, hallelujah, that say, amen, all these different things, there's only two positions. You either love God or you don't. You either serve and worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or you serve the God of this world. It's that point. Whatever he offers, whether it's in the name of other gods, or it's in religions, or it's in mantras, or it's in mindsets, or it's in chanting, whatever he offers, that's it. But there's really only two positions you can take. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As Moses looked at Korah, amen, there at the in the wilderness, and he said, who is on the Lord's side? Hallelujah. So you're either loving the Lord, serving him, or you are serving the devil. You say, I have so many people that don't serve the Lord. They're not born again. They're not covenant. They say, I love God. You really don't. If you love God, you would follow his commandments. You would follow his word. I know their heart means well. Hallelujah. But that's the deception that's in the world. Amen. It's all about love. Hallelujah. If you love him, you will honor him. Amen. You will keep his word. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. Because he's a God. It's not that he's a God that demands your worship. Hallelujah. But he's a God that wants your relationship. And in your relationship, there is worship. When you are in a relationship with him, you will worship him. Come on, somebody. Amen. So there's only two positions. See, it wasn't that they didn't believe in God. Are you hearing me? Amen. It's that they began to believe that he was one of many gods. That was the problem. It wasn't that some of them were still worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but alongside that, they were worshiping the other gods of Baal, amen, and Asherah. So he said, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? So it wasn't that they didn't believe that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was real. They just believed that he was one of many gods. The Bible says there is one God. Hallelujah. And there are none besides him. And he is the creator of this
universe is Yahweh, Jehovah. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? There's only one. As Israel declares, the Lord our God is one. Hallelujah. Are you with me today? The Bible says the people never said a word. Here's what you gotta think about that. There was no objection. There was also no repentance. See, that would have been a moment to say, okay, I recognize the error of my ways. I recognize that I've been deceived and I've been distracted, and I've allowed myself to consider that the God of our fathers is among other gods. But there was no objection or no repentance. That's actually a scary place to be. God said, I'd rather be hot or cold. Because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to throw you up. I gotta spit you out. I can't be part of that. Amen. So I have a lot of respect for someone that just will come right out and say, nope, don't believe that, don't do that. Versus someone that's like, well, you know what I'm saying? There's a big difference there. Yeah. Hallelujah. So no one said a word. It's interesting. He said, the King James says, how long will you halt between two opinions? That word halt. In the Hebrew, it's translated, it means limp, hop, dance, or leap. Okay. One day you're over here, and the next day you're over here. One day you're dancing with righteousness, the next day you're dancing with perverseness. Amen? Perversion. Are you with me? Hallelujah. You're leaping back and forth. You're hopping back and forth. You just can't make your mind up. Bible says that's a double-minded man. They're unstable in all their ways. The instability will reveal, amen, that mindset. Are you understanding me? So he said, the God who answers by fire will be the God who is the true God. You got to understand that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the only one that had access to fire.
Come on.
He revealed himself early in the scriptures by fire. He doesn't have to create it. He is fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Are you hearing me? He doesn't have to do anything to get it, to generate it, or get it moving. And we should not either. If we have been baptized, amen, with the Spirit and in with fire, that means the fire of God is already in us. We should not have to do anything to ignite it or get it or spark it or make it. Are you hearing me? That's a different message. Amen. Praise God. But he's the only one that had access to fire. Elijah knew this. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. But the other, amen, worshipers, Baal's prophets, believed, amen, that the God Moloch, amen, was the God of fire. Hallelujah. Amen. And so they truly believed that this God of fire would answer them. Amen. But I think it's interesting, amen, that Elijah prayed for fire in a drought. They didn't need fire, they needed rain. So he didn't pray for rain. That would have been a great time to say, Lord, send rain. The God that sends the rain is the God, amen, who needs to be worshipped. But he said, the God who answers by fire. Can I tell you, it's easier to have faith for fire than it is for rain? Okay. We're talking spiritually now. See, rain is provision. Fire is presence. Some of you have no trouble believing that God is present.
Okay. Come on. Come on.
So you have no issue believing that, amen, in the fire. You have no issue believing that he's an ever-present help in the time of trouble. How many good times do we throw that at people when they're going through a hard time? Amen. But it's easier to believe that God is present than it is for to believe for him to show up and to meet your need. See, rain is provision. So it's easy to say, I know the Lord is with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I believe he's there. Amen. So, but I'm not sure if he's able to meet the need. Amen. So it's easy to believe for him. Amen. To believe that he's present than it is for him to be present, show up, and to meet your need. So it's easier, amen, to believe for fire than it is for rain. Convince me different. Convince me different. I've been there.
Come on now.
There's been a few times, you know, in my spiritual walk that I wonder, God, where are you? But I, other than moments, I've never doubted his presence. So to ask God to answer by fire is really unusual in a drought, because things catching on fire in drought is really common.
Yeah.
Right? I was watching a show about the fire in California in 2018, amen, where it was dry, it had been a drought, amen, and a faulty electric wire sparked, amen, and it caught, amen, an area on fire, and that fire lasted for 18 days. All because the conditions were right. So, now we get the picture, the one that I think most everybody's familiar with, that the prophets of Baal began doing crazy things. Now think about this, 850 of them on the side of a mountain, jumping, screaming, hopping around, flailing their arms, and they hit about noon, and Elijah said, what's the matter, fellas? You're not on vacation? You read the translation. He literally asks, is he in the bathroom? Is he relieving himself? Where is he? Is he so busy that he can't respond? And so then they were challenged to be even crazier. And the Bible said then they started taking knives and amen, weapons and stones, and began cutting themselves to get his attention. So 850 men, amen, jumping, acting crazy, amen, flailing their arms, screaming, now cutting themselves, blood flying everywhere as they're jumping and they're flailing their arms, and they're getting no response. They're getting nothing. Amen. Why do crazy things for God who can't hear you? Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. This is why the people of God shout. This is why we lift our hands. And this is why when we come together, we rejoice and we lift our voices and we shout for joy. Hallelujah. Not because we feel it, but because we know that joy is ours no matter what. And the world's got nerve to say we are radical, and there's no sense in acting like that. But when I got a God who I know hears me when I cry, I got a God that I know when I'm on my bed and I wake up in the middle of the night. Hallelujah. You may be broke out in a sweat. Maybe your mind is overtaken by all that's happening and going on. Or the enemy comes in your dream and just begins to disturb and twist and torment and bring all kinds of craziness. Hallelujah. But at that moment, amen, when you don't know what else to do and you cry, Abba, Father, God, I need you. I know he hears me. Why? Because I'm rooted in the word that says his eyes are upon his people and his ears are open to their cries. So if I stand on the word and the devil tells me God doesn't hear you, he's not listening, that's impossible, because it's already rooted and established in the word before time that he hears the cries of his righteous. When the devil tells you God's not paying attention, if you stand on the word, not somebody's prophecy, not somebody's opinion, not somebody's translation, but you stand on the word that says he sees you. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, he's looking for somebody to say, yes, Lord, I believe. He's searching to and fro to find faith. Hallelujah. So when you stand there in the midnight hour and everything is falling apart and you're shaking, that's all right, because you're not standing in your feelings. You're not standing on your emotions, but to turn your focus to the one who said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. The one that David said, if I make my bed in hell, you are right there with me. Hallelujah. That's what you stand in. Hallelujah. And that's what's going to keep you. That's why we do crazy things. That's why we shout and we leap and we jump. Because he is the God who hears his people. See, we don't hang out on the sidelines. We get in the field. Come on, somebody. I said, we don't hang out on the sidelines and just watch the game. We get in the field. Hallelujah. Because our faith is in him and his word.
That's right.
So, no response. Of course, we know why. But they didn't know why. Because they truly believed that the God of fire was Moloch, and that he would answer them. See, we fault them and call them crazy, but they believe that. Because that's what they had been taught and convinced. You've got to keep that in mind when you're dealing with people whose faith is not in truth. Keep in mind that they believe what they believe because they've been told it's true. Amen? Are you with me? So the Bible says that Elijah repairs the altar. And he cuts up the bull. And he puts the wood in place. He puts the sacrifice on the altar. He puts it all in order. God is a God of order. He is a God of order. He is not a God of confusion and chaos, but he is a God of order. And he will put things in order. So he put the sacrifice on the wood. Can I tell you, flesh attracts fire? Yeah. Because that flesh is repentance. But water attracts rain.
Okay.
You with me? Flesh attracts fire, but water attracts rain. And remember, Elijah said, the God who answers by fire, he's placing the flesh of the sacrifice on the altar, because it's what God requires. It's called repentance.
Yeah.
And if you don't had a heart of repentance, then you're not going to get the blessing and the response that's promised. Are you hearing me? So the Bible says that he told him, go get 4 barrels of water. And he poured it over the bullock and the wood and on the altar. He said, go get 4 more. And he poured 4 more over the flesh and the wood and the altar. He said, go get 4 more. 12 barrels of water he poured until the trench that was around the altar was filled with water. And it was time of the evening sacrifice. Look at somebody and say, in God's time, the rain will come. In God's time, the rain will come. It was the time of the evening sacrifice. And Elijah looked up and he prayed, God, show yourself. Show these people, if you be the true and living God, answer by fire, let the fire come. And show these people that you are God. Now, think about it. He asked for fire in a drought. Now he's using 12 barrels of water when water is scarce.
Amen.
That's a sacrifice. As well as faith. But that's a sacrifice. Imagine their minds when he's going, go get 4 more barrels. That's our supper, our breakfast. Are you with me? That'll water our animals. And he's wasting that and pouring it out over this sacrifice in this altar. So the water was a sacrifice in the drought. And can I tell you, in the spiritual seasons of drought, when you sacrifice even what you know you need,
come on now,
God will respond. Come on, I'm not just blowing today. He had trust that God was going to be faithful. Pouring out 12 barrels of water in a drought. He's already crazy for praying for fire in a dry, hot season. Amen. Now he's taking provision, amen, for the next day, and he's pouring it out. Hallelujah. So he's trusting that God was going to be faithful because God said it's going to rain. Are you hearing me? Water can be a sign that we have a thirst for the things of God.
Okay.
When we're thirsty for God and Him only. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
And the Bible says that the fire fell, consumed the burnt offering, consumed the wood, consumed the stones, consumed even the dust. But then it lit the water in the trench. So it literally consumed the water that was in the trench. And when the people saw it, the Bible said they fell down on their face and they began, amen, to acknowledge that the Lord, He is God. Adonai is God. Adonai is God. Adonai is God. And see, here's something that, amen, that Elijah did, praise God, even though he knew God answered by fire, and he knew that the people, amen, were confessing and repenting. Hallelujah. He sees seized the prophets of Baal and Asherah, amen, at that moment and had them killed. He didn't give Jezebel any time to get word and send back. Come on, somebody. See, that's what we got to do. We've got to put the enemy in his place. When we sacrifice and we're obedient and we see God respond, we can't wait for God or something else to take care of that. Amen. You get the enemy away and out right away. Amen. He had them all seized and killed. Hallelujah. Amen. God did not promise. Listen, Elijah told Ahab to celebrate. After that, he told Ahab, he said, get yourself up. He said, drink, eat, and celebrate because I hear the sound of a heavy rain. Not just the sound of rain, but I hear the sound of a heavy rain. So not only was it going to rain, but it was going to be a heavy rain, a torrential downpour. Are you hearing me? Amen. God didn't promise fire. He promised rain, but he answered by fire, which was his presence. But the provision is in the rain. The provision wasn't, somebody better help me. God never told Elijah, I'm going to send fire. Hallelujah. But he sent his presence to let Elijah know, I am with you. I have heard you. I promised you provision, and provision it will be. I will not leave you without what you need. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. So Elijah was all in. Amen. The Bible said they went up. He took his servant. They went up on the mount. Amen. On top of Mount Carmel. Hallelujah. He sat down on the ground and he put his face in between his knees until the sign of the promise was coming. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Until the sign of the promise. Hallelujah. He told his servant, he said, I want you to go over and look toward the sea and tell me what you see. And his servant came back and he said, Elijah, I see nothing. There's nothing there. Seven times Elijah said, go again. Go again. Go again. Ye that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. The waiting will finish. Hallelujah. Joy will come in the morning. Weeping endures for the night, but the dawn will break. Touch somebody and say, morning's coming. Morning's coming. I'm trying to finish this up today. Morning is coming. Elijah said, go again. Go again. Go again. Go again. And the Bible says the seventh time he saw a man coming out of the sea. Amen. A cloud no bigger than a man's hand coming up out of the sea. I told you water attracts rain. Why was it coming up out of the sea? Because clouds are formed when the water evaporates from off, amen, of the water in the land. And clouds begin to be formed as moisture develops. Amen. And water begins to evaporate. And it forms clouds. And if there's enough, amen, of moisture in that cloud, then rain will begin to form. How do we know, amen, that rain is in the cloud? Because it's dark. Amen. It's heavy. It's carrying something. Amen. But Elijah's servant said, hallelujah, I see coming up out of the sea a cloud the size of a man's hand, no bigger than a man's hand. Can I tell you that the obedience and the faith, amen, calls the vapor, amen, from the sea to form the cloud. Amen. Elijah could have said on the third time, well, it must not be coming today. I know, I believe rain's coming, but it must not be coming today. See, he done told Ahab, go get ready, get prepared, because it's why I hear the sound, amen, of the heavy rain. On the third time, he could have said, well, we need to relax maybe we'll try again tomorrow. Who am I talking to besides myself? Hallelujah, but he stayed there. That faith and that obedience caused the vapor to come up off of that sea and to begin to form a cloud. He didn't need a cloud the size of Jerusalem. All he needed to see was there was a cloud, no bigger than a man's hand. Why? Because the God of fire, hallelujah, is the God that holds all provision. And in a cloud no bigger than a man's hand can be enough provision to satisfy the need. Somebody better help me in this place. See, we want to, those of us, if that would have been us, we'd have said, well, that cloud ain't no bigger than a man's hand. That ain't going to do nothing. That's not going to help. That's not going to bless. We would have been waiting for a whole cloud, this big old rain cloud. Hallelujah. But when Elijah heard that there was a cloud, because there was a cloud in the sky for 3.5 years, oh, but all of a sudden, because of faith and obedience, it caused the vapors to rise off of the sea. That same sea that was there in the earth when the Spirit hovered over the waters, it was the same water. Somebody better help me. So the Word was in the water. Do you hear me? Faith and obedience will release what's in the Word. And that Word, hallelujah, begin to come. Listen, drought creates thirst.
You're talking right.
To where you're longing for relief. And you are willing to surrender just to get relief. Come on, somebody. I just said something the other day about something. Luann said something to me about something in particular. And I can tell you that even 3 months ago, I said, nope, I'm not even going to entertain that or consider it. And when she said it to me yesterday, I said, I don't even care anymore. Let it just not be that negative. It was, if that's what it has to be, then so be it. Yeah. But just do what we got to do, because I'm just ready to get out of this.
Yeah.
Come on, are you hearing me?
Yeah.
It'll put you in a position of, Lord, not mine. We fold and surrender. And we sit and fold our legs. I can't do that. At least up there I can. Don't you, man? I'll tell you. It hurts, but I'm doing it. It won't be long. But we fold our legs and we sway and sing kumbaya. Lord, I surrender. I surrender. Oh, you don't. We ain't until we're pushed to the point that we're so thirsty that we know we can't drink of just anything, but Lord, just a drop of your water.
Yeah.
Come on. It ain't about the fire, his presence. It ain't about his presence. It's about the provision. And so we're like, you know what? I don't care if that's what it takes to make it break, then let it be. If you knew what I was talking about and what we were discussing, I'm sure her mom was like, yes. She'd go, what? Did he just say he didn't care? But my point is that drought can make us willing to surrender for relief. But Elijah never saw the rain. Only saw the cloud, no bigger than a man's hand. I got small hands for a man, so we'll take the size of my hand. Now, standing on a mountain, looking over the sea and seeing a cloud no bigger than that. That's not a lot to get excited about. But Elijah, he said, I hear the sound. I told the servant, go tell Ahab. He better get it, for the rain comes. He said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Translated, the sound of heavy rain. That word sound is the Hebrew word kol, which is the same word that's used for voice. So provision has a voice. That's how I see it. Provision has a voice. And that word abundance translated there, amen, in the Hebrew as heavy, it's the Hebrew word hamon. And it literally means a roaring crowd. So Elijah said, I hear the voice of a roaring crowd in the distance. Heavy rain. The sound, just the sound of the rain. Not even the rain. The sky was clear, but Elijah stayed bowed before the Lord long enough to bring a small cloud. Can I tell you, heavy rain doesn't come often. We said last week, we had that torrential downpour where it was like sheets of water and you could hear it pounding on the roof. Amen. We have skylights. On the skylights, you could hear it pounding, that it was so hard that it almost sounded like it was hail. But it was just heavy rain.
Don't think it on me.
But I want you to think of this. The cloud didn't appear to be a sign of heavy rain.
True.
Just a sign of rain. But he heard the sound. And just that size of the cloud was enough to get him to go up, rise up in expectation, because he heard the sound before he saw the rain. He heard the voice of a roaring crowd. See, that's why we can shout before the victory comes. Because when the enemy hears the sound, when he hears the voice, see, we often pray, amen, as the worship team, amen, when we pray, as we sing up here, let us be one voice. Not just one leading and others singing voices bringing in, but let us be one voice, so that the sound we make is just as if one, amen, praise and one unified worship is going up. So you see, that's why when we all get in that mindset and in unity, amen, and we lift up our voices with a shout of victory, amen, with joy, amen, and you have permission to do that at Judah Tabernacle. I kind of think some people feel like that you lost that permission, but you got permission to do that in this house. Hallelujah. But when we all, amen, rise up, it's one voice, amen, to the face of the enemy, and he hears the sound of the roaring cloud. So we don't have to have the provision before we shout. All we have to do, amen, is have the sound of the rain, to hear the voice of provision in our spirit. We don't even have to see the cloud. Amen. That's the clouds that holds the rain. There ain't one cloud that could have held the heavy rain that fell. Amen. After that, so that meant that one cloud, that other clouds begin to form. Are you with me? Hallelujah. But Elijah began to rejoice before the other clouds formed. You see, I told you, we sat around and waited for the rest of them to form to make sure that the sound we heard was accurate. Somebody better hear me in this place. Hallelujah. But it's not the rain, amen, that makes us rejoice. It's not the rain in itself. Hallelujah. But it's the sound. See, see the heavy rain. When heavy rain comes, it comes quick. Amen. And the thirst of the dry ground will, amen, not draw it, that rain down in. And it'll drink of that water. And then that water will keep coming to where that ground is no longer parched. Amen. No longer, hallelujah, dry, but now, hallelujah, the benefits of the rain, amen, are now working. They took care of the inside. Now they're working on the outside. Now you can sow a seed, because when the rain comes, it's going to come again. When the rain breaks, it's going to come again. And it's rained heavy enough to saturate the ground, amen, to where no seed, amen, would be wasted. But when that heavy rain comes, it'll quench the birth of the dry ground, reveal the very will of God. Amen. So the sound, how many knows that the sound of rain, people pay for machines that make the sound of rain, because it brings them peace and rest. And the sound of rain in itself brings them comfort and they can sleep. So I come this morning to bring somebody, amen, some relief, to bring somebody a glimpse of peace, because the sound of rain, hallelujah, amen, it's coming. It's there. You don't have to wait for the rain. The value of a drought is to reveal the abundance. I said the value of the drought is to reveal the abundance. Do you realize that many times if we never got to the level of lack that we experienced, we would never experience the level of abundance in God?
Right. That's true.
Because we get comfortable, yeah, and we get apathetic to the, yeah, regular,
just enough, you know, see,
the assumed, yeah, blessings, right?
Yeah.
We become, then if we're not careful, we become entitled. And we take it for granted. And God's like, there's more there than this. But what's in the rain? The promise was in the rain. The promise wasn't in the sound, it was in the rain. But the sound of the promise was enough. It was the sound of the rain that stirred Elijah. But when we look at the word promise in the Hebrew, I know we've talked about this before, but it's just imperative that we reiterate it this morning before we close. The word promise in the Hebrew is the word dabar. Dabar in the Hebrew means a word, a matter of a thing. Comes from a root word that means to arrange, to appoint, to bid, to command.
Okay.
So the sound means the rain is already there.
Okay.
You can't do anything. There's nothing you can do to make it rain, because the rain's already there.
Okay.
It's your obedience and your trust and your faith that releases the vapor, that forms the cloud, that gives access to the rain. So you can hear the sound of the rain when there's not a cloud in the sky, just like Elijah.
Well, now.
And no matter the size of the cloud, how many's ever looked and it's gotten just a little bit cloudy, like, oh, that's going to pass, and all of a sudden, pouring the rain. How many's ever been driving? I had me the other day when I was kind of home on the freeway. I was driving and it was perfectly. And then as I get to a certain point on the freeway, it is pouring the rain.
Yeah.
I still remember when I was a little boy, the first time I discovered that. When I thought when it rained everywhere.
Right.
And I can remember being so fascinated and mesmerized by the fact that we drove into rain. I probably drove mom nuts How can it rain over there on the other side of the bridge, but it's not raining over here? That'll preach. Because it all depends on where the clouds are. It all depends on where the clouds are and where you are when the clouds release. So the enemy wants you to say, with your head tucked between your knees, are you hearing me? But I've come this morning to tell somebody, to remind you that the sound means that the rain is already there. And the promise is God has already appointed it. He's arranged the time and he's commanded it with his word. And it will come. The promise was in the rain. The matter, the appointed time, it's fixed. He's got it planned. I get it. It's not easy to trust in the sound when you don't see the clouds. And all you see are the circumstances. But there's the sound of rain. And I don't know who's here today, that you're experiencing that drought. Say, get ready to come to the music. That you're experiencing this drought. But the Lord has sent me here today with this word to tell you that all you need is the sound of the rain. You don't need the cloud. But if you'll stay fixed and you'll stay focused as Elijah did, that your faith and your obedience will release the vapors that's in the word, the provision that's going to release the promise of provision. Maybe you're here and you haven't doubted his presence. You haven't doubted the fire. But it's the rain that you struggle with. Your promise has a voice. And it has a roaring crowd. And it'll silence the enemy. As you stand with me across this place. God will reassure you in these seasons. You remember, I think I shared this maybe in Bible study, I don't know. But you remember a couple weeks ago when I preached about Gideon? And I told you that I was struggling with that because we just preached about Gideon just already this year. Someone came to me later and shared that the week before, the Sunday before that, God had spoke to them concerning the church and talked about reaping and those things, and then the Lord spoke Gideon to them. And they said, I prayed about it, studied Gideon all week, and I prayed about it, and I wasn't going to say anything to you about it. They ended up having to come back to the church before I had left on that Sunday. And they said that since I've come back, I'm going to tell you. And had they told me that week, I probably would have really struggled on preaching about Gideon again. But if you were here, if you remember, we talked about the parable of the sower, of the reaping, and the wheat and the tares, and God pulling out and doing from the New Testament. So God has his ways of reassuring you. You hear the sound of the rain before you see it. And it's the sound that Elijah trusted. So if you're here today, this message weaves right into where you are in your life. I want you to get ready to come, because I want to pray with you. If you're here today, you're lost and you don't know Jesus. You need to find it. You need to surrender to Jesus before it's too late. So today, as they get ready to worship, if you're in here and that's you,